you.
Thank you, Di. Thank you. Yeah, well, it's great to be here. You used to come here years ago when Kings met here, and you know, it was our place of worship, and it's great to be worshiping here again today. It was fantastic, the worship. Thank you. Really beautiful songs, and some of those words were fantastic, weren't they? I don't know if they spoke to you. They really spoke to me, and I've got to be careful not to give too much of my testimony, because today I've got a bit of a preach for you. I've got a word of God for you, and I will briefly just say a bit about who I am. I'm the son-in-law of Vicky and Henry, married to Jane. We used to live in Langley, and then for the last 14 years we've lived in Windsor, and we came away from Kings about 7-ish years ago, and we started going to River in Maidenhead, and I'm on the team there now in Maidenhead. And today, you know, I feel very privileged, because what happened in my life, probably about 5-6 years ago now, I cried out to God, and he heard me. And you know, when you cry out to God, he always listens. He never sleeps. He's always there, just waiting for our, he's eagerly waiting for our cry. And he heard my cry. And I was living a life which didn't have too much direction at the time. And I said a prayer. And prayer is so powerful. And I prayed for God to give me a job with purpose. And nothing happened straight away, you know. But when you pray for something, don't give up praying. I can't honestly say I was praying on a daily basis, but you know, that the thought just, I just knew, you know, God's heard that prayer. And it was nearly a year later, I got the opportunity to go and work at Yeldon Manor, which some of you might have heard of. It's a Christian drug and alcohol rehab near Twyford. And it really is a ministry. It's just incredible, an incredible place. And God just, from that moment onwards, I got the job, you know. Really, I wasn't qualified for the job, but God got me in there, and I just was learning things from day one and relying on God, totally relying on God and asking God to equip me. And one of the most powerful prayers I've ever said, I didn't feel I was equipped. And there's all these guys coming through the doors at Yeldon who smashed to pieces, basically. Addiction had ruined their lives for many, many years. And some of these fellas were hard to like, actually, because they become very socially unacceptable, and you know, they don't have good manners, and they're very selfish people, and you know, physically they're unattractive, because some of them have lived rough for years, and they've just suffered, their bodies have suffered. And I said, God, give me your heart for these men. Let me see them with your eyes. Let me just see them with your eyes, Lord. Let me have a heart for these men. And God did that. And he, you know, it's quite incredible when you ask God to put something of his spirit inside of you, he'll do that, because he wants to use us for his glory. Each one of us, he wants to use for his glory. And so, you know, I had a fantastic time there. Situation changed. Won't go into detail, but I'm now currently working as a chaplain, community chaplain at Feltham Young Offenders, which again is just a fantastic thing. So when I spoke at Maidenhead a couple of weeks ago, I explained to them that normally when I speak, I'm speaking to drug addicts, alcoholics, prisoners. And they said, you're speaking in the wrong place. You should be speaking in Slough. No, not really. Not really. No, it's It's a joy to come across. And you know, God wants to speak to each one of us. Wherever you're at, you know, whether you're a Christian today, even if you're not a Christian, God wants to speak into your life. He wants to let you know just how much he loves you, that he's got a plan and purpose for you. And if you are a Christian today, chances are, you know, we're on a Christian walk, aren't we? But sometimes, you know, it's up and down, isn't it? We have our good times, our not so good times. But God just wants to encourage us. He wants us to move on in him. So let's get on with the prayer. I'll just pray, actually. Father, I just pray that the words you've given me to share today will will be special to some people here, and that we'll just open our hearts to you, Lord, really. You've got great plans and purposes for our lives. You love us dearly. So we just say, Father, speak to us now. Speak to us now. Amen. Okay. In the summer, I got the chance, I don't often get a chance to read, but on holiday, got a chance to read a few books. And one of the books I read was written in 1937. It was given to me. It's called The Church Must First Repent. And it was written by a revivalist called Dr. J. Edwin Orr. And I only found out recently, he was only 25 when he wrote this book. So this young man must have been incredibly close to God, because the book that he wrote, really, it said everything about God's call on our lives, how God wants to use us, how God has a passion for the lost, and, you know, God wants to use us to reach the lost, and it's quite incredible. And talking a lot about the church, but you could apply it individually to your own life. Even Billy Graham wrote about this guy. I know of no man who has a greater passion for worldwide revival or a greater love for the souls of men. So that was the heart of the author, and what he wrote in that book really spoke to me. So I'm going to be sharing some of that this morning. But I want you to sort of take some of this on board. And we can very easily feel very quickly condemned when we read about things. Oh, we should be doing this, we should be doing that. And there's stuff we shouldn't be doing, and we can feel very condemned. But today I want it to be a time where we realize God wants to draw us closer to him. It's not about God saying you're not equipped. It's about God saying you are equipped. And whether you've been living in the fullness of God recently or not, God's saying, I've got a wonderful plan for you for this year. You know, you don't have to spend years and years trying to get closer to me. God's saying, I can use you this year. This, you know, 2012 can be a fantastic year for you in Christ. Okay, if we could put the first one up. God has great plans for us. You'll all know this text from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. And when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. That's a promise. You know, I love the promises of God. It's one of the things, especially when I'm talking to the guys at Yeldal or talking to young men, I say, you know, the Bible's full of promises, and God keeps every one of them. You know, apply them to your own lives. Apply them to your own lives. Believe in this word. Believe it. And apply it. And once you start believing the truth of this world, this word, it will set you free. It's quite incredible. So God has plans for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Are you ready? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for God? One of the things we often do in our everyday lives, if we're at work, we're often assessed, aren't we, how well we're doing. And we have an appraisal time, and we have to go in and see the manager, and the manager tells you, yeah, you're doing this well, you're not doing that quite so well, and perhaps you need this training course, etc., etc. And you look at how well you're doing at work. How often do we stop and consider, how well am I doing for God? What's my spiritual journey like? Am I getting warmer to God? Am I getting closer to God? Or is the relationship getting colder? You know, we never choose to come away from God's heart, but it can happen sometimes just through neglect. You know, we can get caught up in the busyness of life, and we can neglect doing some of the things that we should be doing. So what's our calling? What's our calling? I was in the prison a little while back, and we have some fantastic times in the prison. A lot of young men go to services and go along to groups that are a little bit like Alpha and discipleship groups as well. And we've got some great pastors there, some chaplains. And there's a Jamaican fellow called Colin, and he really challenges the young men there. And those that have decided to become Christians, I remember one morning Colin was saying, "What's your calling? What's God called you to do? What's he asking? What's he asking of you?" And of course, quite often we just think, "Well, I've made my decision. I'm a Christian." Yeah, but there's more. There's more. What's your calling? And I was stood there, and the young men are all there, and I was thinking, "Well, what calling has God put in my heart?" And I felt God say to me, "Well, your calling is to bring hope, where there is none." And that's been my privilege the last few years. In Philippians, we read about pressing on towards the goal to win the prize which God has called us for. And we also know that there's a scripture that says the good work that he started in us, he will complete. It's a passage in Colossians 1, verses 9 to 12. I'll just read this out. God can fill us with the knowledge of his will. His spirit gives us wisdom and understanding so that we might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. It's what we want to do, isn't it? We don't always find it easy, but it's what we want to do. We can bear fruit, growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that we might have great endurance and patience. We can give joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance in the kingdom of light. He has qualified us. You are qualified. You are fully qualified to share God with whoever. Do you know that? That means with your families, with friends, with neighbours, with work colleagues. You are fully qualified. You know, it's quite often we feel, I'm not equipped. We need to realise the Holy Spirit is in us. It's not you on your own. It's you and the Holy Spirit. Yeah? And once you get that in your mind, you realise, wow, you know, I just need to make myself available, and the power of the Holy Spirit will do 99.9% of the work, yeah. If we could have the second one put up there. What are your spiritual goals? Do you actively seek God's will for your life on a daily basis? Very easy sometimes to just carry on in life, isn't it? And life is busy, but we need to have a hunger to get close to God and just say to God, you know, just say a quick prayer in the morning. It takes 10 seconds really. Father, use me today. Wow. You know, a few words in the morning. God hears those words. He'll use you. You don't know how. You don't know how your day's going to pan out, but having that heart and just saying, Father, use me today. God will use you. Our calling. Ephesians 2 verse 10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There's good works already lined up for you for this year. There's good works lined up for you. They're already prepared. God's prepared them. And we are God's workmanship. And then further on in Ephesians, and this one often kind of freaks me out because I think, wow, that's a tall order. Be imitators of God. It's tough, isn't it? You think, wow, I'm called to imitate God. How's that going to happen? Sometimes I feel like a million miles from even being a Christian, and God's saying, I want you to imitate me. In the Message, this is how it reads. I love this version. Watch what God does and then do it. Like children who learn proper behaviour from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love us in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Father, we just want you to give us more of your love. More of your love for those around us. Prayed for a family last week who were leaving our congregation. And you know, they're a wonderful family. They love Jesus. And I took the mic and God just gave me these words. He said, those that live for Jesus, those that are living for Jesus, others can see Jesus living in them. And that's true, you know. And people will be able to see Jesus living in you once you really connect with the Lord and just make yourself available. At River Church, we're called, those of you that went to the vision evening, you'll know we're called to look on the face of Christ, love everyone we meet, and live like heaven is near. So, good things. But what stops us? What stops me? What stops you? It's like New Year's resolutions. Sometimes we have really good intentions, don't we? But we don't follow through. We don't follow through with what we'd like to do. I'm sure we can all tell stories about resolutions we've had and they've lasted probably less than a week. If we could have the next slide up there. The reason really, what stops us? Well, we're in spiritual warfare. We're in a battle. And the devil has two main strategies, as I see it. Distraction and sin. Let's look at distraction first of all. What distracts us? Well, anything and everything, let's be honest. We're easily distracted. And some of the things that distract us from being in the place where God wants us to be can be good things, can be really wholesome things. Could be your work. Could be that you're so engrossed in your work and you're trying to do really well, and you're working honestly, you're working hard. Maybe you're working too much. Maybe you're self-employed, you're running your own business, and all of your energy is put into that. You know, it can get in the way of perhaps what God wants you to be doing. Family, you know, we love our families, don't we? And family time is very precious. But some people, you know, can completely live for their families to the exclusion of everything else. We just need to get things balanced. Leisure interests. Well, you know, I hold my hands up here, you know. Years ago, I just lived for sport all the time, you know. Anything, football, golf, snooker, pool, you name it, hours and hours a week. It's sort of selfish behaviour, really. It's you know, it's good to enjoy life, enjoy the things in life, isn't it? But we just need to get things in priority. You know, God's put a real calling on our hearts to serve him, to live for him. When I speak to the lads at Yeldall Manor, I often talk about this type of thing, about living for Jesus. And something that sort of struck me a little while back now, once I started getting things in order, and I share with them, I say, I now live my life for things that have eternal value. It's so easy, isn't it, for us to live our lives for things that just come and go. Yeah, the everyday, worries about the everyday life, you know, they can be such concerns of ours, you know. Preparations for parties or, you know, anything, you know, the next clothes you want to go and buy, you know, it's so important to you. And certain things can just distract us from what God wants us to do. We need to live our lives for things that have eternal value. You know, God really wants us to have a heart for people around us. And I went to some training a couple of weeks back, and a guy there came out with a statement. I love just making notes of little statements that I hear that impact on me. And he said, you know, when you're reaching out to people, and especially the kind of people I often reach out to, and they tend to be really struggling in life. He said, you know, those people that you're trying to love and trying to care, they don't care what you know, but they do want to know that you care. Yeah, They don't care what you know, but they want to know that you care. We need to, as Christians, we need to be loving people more than anyone else. We need to be showing the love of God. We've received it, haven't we? You know, we've received God's grace. We've received God's love. We need to give it out. Okay, the second one, sin. So talked about destruction. Sin. As soon as we hear that word, we feel uncomfortable. Yeah, I know I do. I heard a preach. You hear lots of preachers talking about sin. And Colin from River a couple of years back said, "Why does God hate sin?" And you sort of think, well, you know, it's offensive to him. You know, we're offending him. But the reason Colin gave, and I'd never heard it put this way, is that actually God hates sin so much because he loves us so much and he knows that sin can never satisfy us. Yeah? Sin can never satisfy us, and that's why God hates it. He just really wants the best for us. He sees us as his kids. You know, if you've got a child that's about to do something that's dangerous, you stop them from doing it, don't you? Because you love them. They're doing something that you know might bring them pain. You stop them from doing it. And sometimes God gives us reminders, you know, don't do that. Okay. I'll show you one of the things I've learnt about sin. Okay, you have to bear with me. I'm going to come over here. Okay. Still hear me? Don't know how long the mic works for. Right. Sin. Sin's a bit like this. Okay. We're living our lives and then temptation comes along. And first of all, we just take a little peep and we start considering that temptation. We start considering it. And we just open our hearts to it a little bit. And then we consider it a bit more and we start sort of almost meditating on that wrong action. And before we know it, the door's kicked wide open. And that's the devil, you know, because we've put that door slightly ajar and the devil's out to get us. And once you've fallen through that door, quite often it's like sinking sand the other side. Yeah. Before you know it, you're in deep. You're doing stuff that you wish you hadn't done. And, you know, I don't say it lightly because I've been there myself. But, you know, we have a rescuer who is mighty to save. We have a God who loves us so deeply. And if you're in sinking sand, you can't save yourself. But if you put your hand out, yeah, we have a rescuer and he wants to drag you out of that sinking sand and pull you the right side of the door. You know, God loves us so much. He loves us so much. And that might be speaking to somebody here today. I don't know. Something you've started to get involved in. God's saying no. Reach out to me. I still love you. Okay. I'm going to play a song now, and it's a song that's become special to me over the last year, and I've played it to the guys at Yeldor, and we'd just play it, and it comes from a psalm, a psalm in 139, can't quite see it up there, but it's, the psalm is, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, try me, and know my thoughts." Let's just listen to it.
Search me, know me, try me and see every worthless
yeah, it's a lovely song, isn't it? And, you know, the good news is that God is desperate to forgive us. He's desperate to forgive us. He's a God who loves to restore lives. Yeah. He's got a wonderful plan for each one of us. He wants us to learn from our mistakes. He wants us to grow in holiness, in integrity, to be the strong men and women of God that he's called us to be. Remember a preacher coming to Maidenhead, Eric Cowley, and Eric said, you know, at some point in your Christian life, you're going to mess up. That's a fact. He said, promise me this, when you mess up, don't run from God, run to him. Yeah? Our first thought is to hide from God. We feel shame, don't we? But if we run to him, he's a forgiving God. He loves us dearly. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to forgive us and set us on that right path. So repentance, yeah, it can make us feel low for a moment or two. But, you know, once we're forgiven, it then leads to a lot of joy. Yeah, God wants to fill our lives with joy. That grace, he wants to pour into our lives. Another thing that I share with many people is don't wait till glory to be overwhelmed by the love of God. One day, you know, we're going to be there, aren't we? You know, we're going to be there on our knees before the King of Kings, and it's just going to be awesome. And we're just going to be absolutely overawed by it, overwhelmed by it. But God can overwhelm you by his love today. Let's live lives that are worthy of our calling. We've got an opportunity now to say, Lord, I recommit my life to you. I ask you to forgive me completely and use me, Lord, like never before. I don't care how young or old you are. God can use you in an amazing way this year if you commit your life again fully to him. I know you love me, Lord. Help me to shine for you. I'm sure that's our prayer this morning. Just going to go into a ministry time now, and it'd be good to pray together. You know, I'm sure, you know, God just gently reminds us sometimes that, you know, we need to rely on him. We need to be desperate for him. He loves us. He's our rescuer. And he's put a call on our lives. He's given us purpose. We just need to draw close to him and say, Father, use me. I don't know how that's going to pan out in my life, but I want to put myself in that place where you can use me, Lord. So I just, we're kind of sitting in groups today, aren't we? I'd just like to say, let's pray for one another. Yeah, you don't have to be totally open about what you're going through, but if you want deeper prayer, I'm sure you can see the leadership here for any issues. But let's just commit our lives to God and say, Father, take my life and use me. Bless me, Lord. That's his intention. He wants to use you in an amazing way. Okay.